The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Ricky Tomlinson is in studio alongside the artist and songwriter Asa Murphy. Asa and Ricky, you're both very, very welcome. Listen, you're here because of this show, In Conversation with Ricky Tomlinson. It's taking place on the 3rd of April in the Ambassador in Dublin, then the following night, the 4th Friday, in the Opera House in Wexford, and then the Concert Hall in Drogheda on Saturday the 5th. So listen, like I say, it's an absolute pleasure and it's great to see both of you. Ricky, what can people expect to see at the show?
A laugh.
Just
nice
one?
Music.
Singular laugh?
No, not at all. All night. A laugh, a dance. Let the hair down. Pretend it's New Year's Eve and let it all hang out.
So, Asa, what's your role then on stage?
Well, the evenings with are a knock-on from Irish Annie's, because I wrote the show Irish Annie's.
Yeah.
Ricky, we came
we
here
We spoke
last
to Ricky
year.
About it, actually,
yeah,
at the time,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We had a ball when we were here last year. But what happened is Ricky's role in that was a 20-minute section where he talks about his life and career, but we could only focus on the stuff like the royal family, Mike Bassett. But what I quickly realised, people wanted to hear more. So we developed this show, which is a two-hour show, An Evening with Ricky Tomlinson, where we delve into the stuff people don't know about Ricky's early life, his family life, you know, the fact that obviously he spent 2 years in prison during the union strikes, and people aren't aware of that. And so the show gets you to the point to shape the man that Ricky is. Where did he come from? He wasn't just this fella who popped up as Jim Royal, Mike Bassett, and shout and play 4-4-2. You know what I mean? He's got a history, he's got a life, and that's what this does. And it is, we have a laugh. We really do. The audience are thoroughly involved in the show as well. Mm. We get them to pitch their questions to Ricky. So it's very
their
much
questions
a, you know,
are the more interesting.
Oh, brilliant.
They?
Thanks.
Yeah. He's right there.
No, thanks for that. Right, because you don't know what they think, you know.
Yeah.
Where have you come from? How did you get into acting? Why did you go to jail? Why were you on the blanket?
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff, which, you know, normally you don't see in print. And I love it.
Yeah. You know? How much are you enjoying telling that story that's not often told? All those other things.
I love it. I love it. But, you know, I just love people. I love having a laugh. And even when we're on stage, when we're doing Irish Annie, the play, I spend more time in the foyer at the end of the night than I do on stage. Because I take photographs and I take caricatures and pose for selfies. And because it goes with the job, you know.
Mm.
It goes with the job. And I love it, you know. My missus said to me, I thought you'd be slowing down. Slowing down, what for? You know. Yeah. I'll be, you know, really slowing down soon enough.
Yeah. Well, you probably could, without kind of checking the bank balance here in front of us, you probably don't need to be out doing this stuff.
Well, I do because I've got kids, grandkids and great-grandkids, and I've got a grandson at university now.
Okay.
And, you know, and I don't want him to be left with any debt at all when he comes out. So that's down to me. So that is.
So you've taken that even for the great grandkids. You want to set them up financially.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And if I've done nothing else in my life, I've been lucky enough, you know, to have earned a few quid at the right time. I've been down there, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I've been skint, flat, homeless, and bounced back, able to give £1 million to Alderay Hospital, the children's hospital, because children are my weak link, and about 300,000, I think it was, to the Countess of Chestnut. For premature babies.
Mm.
So I've done that a little bit now. So now I can concentrate on the kids. You know, I don't want to go out of this world with a huge bank balance. That's ludicrous to me. There's my poor old mate Doddy. Ken Dodd. He's died, he left 28.5 million. That's ludicrous. Why didn't he must not, he knew where I lived. You made a lift. Why didn't he do something
tax man.
About it?
Yeah. So, are there elements of the story then, Asa, that you still get surprised by, or that you're more interested in, maybe than you thought you might be?
100%. I say to the audience before Ricky comes on, I go on and welcome everybody. Mm. We give them a little break to write their questions on pieces of paper. And I say to the audience, even though there are certain questions that I ask Ricky, I never know where it's going to go. So sometimes I'll say to the audience, I haven't heard this one before, by the way, so I'm tuned in. I'll give it a funny story. Me and Ricky decided to buy a projector so we could have the big screen behind us. And I would correlate the pictures, like of Carolyn Ahern, Mike Bassett, stuff like that. In the end, I realised there was no point because I'd have a picture of Carolyn Ahern up and he'd be talking about Ken Dodd. What he'd be saying, and then I was in prison. The picture of Mike Bassett, and he wasn't in prison with you, was he? So we quickly realised that the beauty of talking to Ricky Tomlinson is that it can go anywhere. It's like a wormhole.
Mm.
And it's the best thing I hear at the end of the show is people coming out saying, well, I never knew that. You know,
yeah.
They know the rest of the stuff and they love it, by the way. They want the stories about, you know, Twiggy and about all the characters in the royal family. But they'll go, I never knew that. Because Ricky goes into depth about what actually happened to him in prison. The experience of being in a prison cell, being in front of the warden, being spoken to about how you had to deal with these wrongful accusations that you were a danger to society.
Yeah.
People are fascinated and they go, I never knew that about him. And they come away with a new appreciation for a man who has been through a lot, come out the other side and is now one of the most recognisable faces and voices.
Yeah.
And a national treasure in England, in Ireland, in Scotland, in Wales, everywhere we go.
Yeah, but you have a bit of luck on the way, don't you? You know, I've had loads of luck. I done one gig. I done one little bit on television. And Brookside was just coming into being. So they were getting it all set up, the studios, and they use a lot of new technology, you know, steady cams and all like that. And I'm on the screen and I'm ranting and raving in a play called United Kingdom, which was the first thing ever I'd ever done. I'd never done anything else, no experience. I'm ranting and raving. And the lads writing storylines for Brookside were actually writing it. One of them, a lad called Andy Lynch, who's Johnny Vegas's best mate, he's writing storylines and he's watching the play. And he's watching me rant. And he just picked the phone up and phoned Phil Redmond and said, I've just found Bobby Grant. That was it.
So
from one lucky break to 5 years in Brookside, meeting Sue Johnson. And what an actress she is. We go out and about now. We go around everywhere now. In fact, we've just won the Royal Television Society Award for the best the best documentary we made, you know. And I don't take things seriously. We went to Coventry where she first performed on stage. So we're in the theatre, it's empty, it's an afternoon, and we're filming in there. And the fellow interviewing me said to Sue, this is where you made your debut here on the stage, isn't it? She said, yeah. He said, what did you think? She said, once I'd stepped foot on that stage, I knew I wanted to be an actress for the rest of my life. And he said, does this place hold any memories for you, Rick? And I went, yeah. He said, what is it? I said, this is where I had my greatest ever role. He said, your greatest ever role? I said, oh, are you? He said, what was it? I said, it was a sausage roll from Greg. Greg's up the road. Because I've never been on the stage. I never went on the stage till I was 50 odd, you know.
Yeah. But tell me, you know, because the evening delves into, say, the history, I've been sent to prison and all that union campaigning and everything, really important stuff and really serious stuff. Do people in the crowd then ask you kind of serious questions, maybe about the world today? There's so much going on in the world today. You know, are there people there who say, listen, I want kind of Ricky's view on where we're at and where we're going?
It's so nice, because there's people there who are not the same political persuasion as me. It's nice for them to have a go.
Yeah.
And to say, well, hang on, what about this? And what about that? And like one fellow said to me, well, you know, why did you deem it necessary to go on strike, you know? I said, well, it was the one and only ever national building strike there's ever been.
Mm.
I said, recently, in the not too distant past, a Conservative MP got murdered doing a surgery.
Yeah.
Some crackpot went into the surgery and ended up stabbed this Tory MP to death. I said, and there was an outcry. I said, but in the building industry, someone dies every day, every single day. The death rates are in the tens or dozens or whatever, and injuries are in the tens of thousands. I said, that's why we went on strike.
Mm.
You know, I said, and it was a long strike and a bitter strike. And I was asked to be like a double agent. I was asked not to have anything to do with the strike, but to be an informer.
Yeah.
And when people find out that when we were in the dock, we were in the dock for 55 days, six of us, and there was a lad next to me whose name was Carpenter, John Carpenter, He wasn't a building worker. He'd never been on a building site. He was an entertainer. He was a conjurer on the social clubs, but we didn't know he was a police informer.
Wow.
And he was in the dock for the 55 days, and we didn't know. And the judge actually said, because, you know, obviously the judge has got your antecedents. Well, I didn't have any antecedents, neither did, you know, most of the other lads. But this fella had a list of convictions like that, all for fraud and deception. And yet the judge said to him, Mr. Carpenter, you're the most intelligent man in the dock. I don't know what you're doing there. It's absolutely farcical.
Yeah.
Farcical. I mean, my telephone was tapped and all. Well, that went without saying. And I used to get approached by fellas in the old white trench coat, like you see on the movie, saying, oh, you know, listen, mate, you want to be careful there. But you've got to do what you've got to do, you know,
But even that little story, I mean, it's fascinating. Mm. And this is the whole point of the stage show, I guess. It's insights like that.
It is, and like some of the questions will, like you say, will ask, what do you think of Donald Trump?
Yeah.
So we field those questions because, like you say, the audience want to know what Ricky's opinion is of modern politics. And we go down certain places, and certain places we avoid because we want to keep it light. But also there are some certain things. He even wrote a poem about Donald Trump, didn't he, which went down a storm. So we
not with Donald Trump, probably.
No, not with Donald.
Not with Donald.
He hasn't invited
us over, has he, for an evening with. But
not yet.
But it's good fun, and there are lots of light moments. But we just felt it was nice to go on the road. I think we said before about Ricky's idea, concept of retirement was interesting, that, you know, why retire? Why slow down?
Well, I can't retire.
Ricky loves it. So we sort of said, well, okay, you know, we're going to do a few this year. God willing, next year, we're going to go out and do a few more as well.
Great.
So, yeah.
But, you know,
crossed.
People say to me, have you got any sort of local heroes? And I say, yeah. And they say, well, you know, tell us one. And I say, well, I love football. I love football.
Yeah.
I'm a Liverpool supporter. But I didn't go for years because, I mean, I used to take it to heart. If Liverpool got beat, I was dreadful. Anyway, I've started going again, and I get invited into the exec lounge by a lad called Colin McEwan, who owns LA Productions, the film company in Liverpool.
Mm.
And sitting next to me is Jimmy McGovern, the writer who's wrote the best things ever on telly. Everything he writes wins an award.
Mm.
Sammy Lee, who played for Liverpool, is on the table and stuff like that. But I admire this Colin McEwan. Because when Brookside was coming into being, it was going to be groundbreaking, which it turned out to be. Now, this fella is a wizard with cameras and all that. And what he done, he said to Phil Redmond, I'm going to train my own kids. And he took the kids from Highton, from Kirby, who would have been classed as scallywags.
Mm.
They're scallies, they're the street urchins. And he got them in, and I remember him saying to them, I'm giving you a chance here.
Mm.
I'm going to teach you something that will stand you in good stead for the rest of your life. And you know, now I see their names coming up on the credits of practically everything that's on the television. Cameraman, lighting man, sound engineer, all down to this Colin McEwan, who took a chance on them. And there was one fella called Peter Cavaciuti, and he said, we're going to introduce this new camera called the Steadicam, which is strapped onto the operator.
Yeah.
And he can run upstairs with it, you can run downstairs with it. And this Cavaciuti said, he took to it like a duck to water, and he said, I'm going to buy one. And he said, you know how much they are? I think they were about 60 grand. So he mortgaged his house and bought one. He bought one, Peter Cavaciuti. If you're listening to this, Peter, I admire you. You can't get one now in this country unless it goes through Peter Cavaciuti.
He said, it sewn up?
It's wonderful, but he took a chance. Yeah. And to see him struggling with it, but it was groundbreaking, and I've been part of that. And I like to stand back sometimes and I'd admire the people who do the stuff, you know,
some
of the writers, like, yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, listen, the evening includes, I know, kind of music and song as well. Some of the stories we've just heard, but many more. There are no Gregs in Ireland, but, you know, maybe there's a Peter Cavaciuti listening. He'll take out the first franchise and you might get a good sausage roll. There's great sausage rolls. Listen, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.